Tech of Sports, episode 11 for May 25th, 2012. Mike Smith, the internet voice of the LSU Tigers. This week on the Tech of Sports, Mike Smith. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to receive our content for your smart devices. There's an app for both iOS and Android. And don't forget the Stitcher Radio app for all iOS devices and Android. Get Stitcher for free with all your favorite Netcast Studio shows preloaded. Stitcher Radio is award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone and tablet. Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. The Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific at netcaststudio.com/live, where you can join the chat room and listen to the show live. Thanks for joining us, everyone, on a rescheduled Friday night for a special edition here of the Tech of Sports, where we're going to talk about, ironically enough, live sports and live talk on the Internet. If you're listening and watching here, you're probably one of the people that do it regularly. A recent stat said that in 2007, only 6% of people said they listened to live sports on the Internet. By 2011, that percentage is now up 23% and climbing. Sports teams and schools of all levels now not only sell television and radio rights, but they also sell and market digital rights. We're going to talk about all that and more tonight with our special guest, Internet broadcaster Mike Smith. Mike has served for the past 16 years as the public address announcer for events inside the Pete Maravich Assembly Center at LSU in Baton Rouge. And since 2006, Mike has served as the play-by-play announcer for Louisiana State University gymnastics road meets streamed live over the Internet. LSU is only one of a handful of schools with dedicated Internet-only broadcasts of the sport. During the day, he runs his public affairs firm, MDSA Strategic Communications, and in 2005, Mike co-founded ConnectCallUSA.com along with two business partners. That company utilizes internet technology to place high-speed, high-quality telephone calls for clients across the nation. ConnectCallUSA.com specializes in emergency evacuation, emergency notification, political and public affair calls. The company received numerous Polly Awards for its work. He's been recognized as one of the most influential political and public affair leaders in the state of Louisiana by Politics Magazine. And his eye for detail and public affairs knowledge and his network of contacts throughout the South has served his clients well for nearly 20 years. He is married and has four children, and he's here tonight, found some time to come back on the Tech of Sports. And we welcome you, Mike, tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thanks so much for rescheduling. I apologize for the weather the other night. As much as I could hold it off, I just wasn't quite strong enough.
No, Mother Nature beat you to the punch there, I think.
Well, she did, but I'm glad to be plugged back into you tonight and delighted to talk to you about broadcasting over the Internet and about LSU.
Yeah, well, we welcome all the LSU people that are listening, and it's a great, passionate fan base you have, and I know they're proud of you, and you do a great job. Let's talk about kind of this being a passion of yours, and how much fun is it really to do broadcasting on the Internet where you're not really regulated per se, you're just kind of freelancing on your own, and talk about maybe the demographics of people that listen to your broadcasts.
Yeah, Rick, that's a great question. You know, we've been very fortunate to have a great and loyal following since we started back in the 2006 gymnastics season, broadcasting LSU gymnastics over the Internet via lsusports.net. And one of the things that we found immediately, aside from the usual suspects, of course, our parents and our traditional fan base of gymnastics, we also found that there was a significant number of folks across the country and, frankly, across the world that were interested in the sport of gymnastics in general, looked at LSU as being a perennial top 10 team, and wanted to tune in to see how they were doing. And, of course, our broadcasts are free of charge, and so that makes it pretty easy for folks to log in and to listen. Parents that have young kids that are interested in the sport that maybe are shopping around for a college or university to attend and looking for a scholarship, they listen in. And then, of course, we can't forget about the broad LSU Tiger fan base that we happen to have across the entire United States, Tiger chapters in many states, including some of the larger ones in San Diego, California, and in Washington, D.C., and in all points in between. Our demographics have been strong. And I'll tell you, you know, we find that our We started, Rick, in a very small, you know, maybe just a few dozen people that were interested in those early meets, and it's moved from a few hundred to a few thousand. And as you pointed out so rightfully in your initial comments about the blossoming of internet broadcasts, and especially sports broadcasts, we've certainly seen that with our own broadcast at LSU.
Yeah, it really is picking up steam, and we'll talk about that a little later. But before we talk about that, let's kind of talk about maybe the roots of internet broad sports on the internet and internet broadcasting. And a lot of people don't know it started with way back in internet time, broadcast.com, and that was co-founded by Mark Cuban, who, you know, many people now today know as the crazy guy on Shark Tank, and you know the outspoken owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and how many times have we seen the poster of, or a picture of him holding the NBA championship trophy? And I mean, he's in Q ratings. I get Q ratings because I'm a writer. He's one of the most recognizable people in America, believe it or not, and in the world of sports and in general terms. And you had a unique experience with Mark Cuban when you guys were getting started, and tell us about that a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. It's really a great story. I was involved with the LSU campus radio station KLSU back when I was in college, and we were in partnership with the LSU athletic department at the time to broadcast over the radio locally LSU women's basketball and among other sports. And one particular week, our travels were taking us into the greater Dallas area to go up against SMU in a game there in Dallas. And so we were looking for new and better ways and better ways to broadcast on the road in particular. And then also, as we said, to broaden our appeal and our fan base. This would have been way back in 1991-92 time frame. So I looked up this guy who had a fledgling company called AudioNet that became, I guess, broadcast.com, and then of course was purchased by a large internet conglomerate that helped make him the billionaire that he is today. But back then he was just a young average guy named Mark Cuban, and he was an entrepreneur, obviously had a lot of enthusiasm. And I looked him up and called him, actually, and told him we were coming to town. And he was very gracious, invited us to come over to what I thought was going to be a real, palatial office. I go into a not-so-nice area of Dallas, into a warehouse that's just full of, full of servers and computer equipment. And there was his office in the far corner. He had fashioned a personal office on the far corner of the warehouse. And he visited with me for the better part of an afternoon, sort of about his vision and about the different the directions that he wanted to go. And was very gracious. And we were one of the initial schools, if memory serves, I think the first school to sign up with AudioNet. And they were able to take our feed and then turn around and broadcast it over the internet. It was a fascinating time. And certainly we've all moved light years, Rick, from where we are today, but it was really neat to, and it still is neat to me to think back about that story, especially every time that I see him in an NBA basketball game.
I'm sure it is. It probably really hits home with you, and you guys, I'm sure, took a lot of that advice to heart and carries over to today. And talk about doing, we all listen to baseball and football and basketball on the internet, but talk about doing sports that aren't traditional radio sports, and you do gymnastics, and people say, I mean, you might tell people I do gymnastics, you know, on the radio or on the internet, and they maybe turn their head and look at you funny or something. But sure. You know, how hard is that to do?
Well, you know, Rick, it starts with a great partner. I did not grow up with a gymnastics background, I can assure you. But I will say this, through the years with the LSU program and head coach Dede Brough, who's been the really the only head coach that LSU's ever had for gymnastics. She took me under her wing years ago when I first started doing the PA announcing, long before radio was an option, and began to teach me about the sport. And certainly her passion for the sport is infectious. And so I learned a lot from her. But one of the big favors that she did for me is she helped hook me up with some really great partners through my gymnastics broadcast career, young ladies that have been able to describe the action. I'm talking about down to the movement, on each apparatus. And it has allowed me as sort of the, I guess what you would call a play-by-play announcer from a traditional point of view, sports point of view, has allowed me to set the scene, has allowed me to watch the coaches and their reaction, watch the judges and their reaction. It's allowed me the opportunity to really kind of pay attention to the fans and what they're interested in. And then turn around and take all of that, bundle it together, and try to communicate that as best I can during the time when a gymnast is not actually competing. So it's almost a little bit in reverse. And normally your play-by-play guy is going to talk most of the time. I probably, even though over the course of 3 hours, I probably talk a lot. I know I talk a lot, but it's not quite as much as you would normally see out of a traditional relationship between, say, a color analyst and a play-by-play person. But it's been really great, and those partners of mine have been truly helpful.
Let's touch on the mechanics of that real quick. And just broadcast what the LSU gymnasts are doing, or do you also broadcast if it's a dual meet or a multi-team meet? Because if you haven't been to a gymnastics meet, it's almost the equivalent to like a three-ring circus. There's lots of moving parts going on. Are you just broadcasting the LSU side of things, or are you also updating the other teams as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. In a dual meet situation, when we're on the road, we look at both teams, because typically the home coach, the coach of the home team, will allow us to run the events separately and not simultaneously. So when we do the events one at a time, it allows us an opportunity to really focus in on what each team is doing, to keep the fans up to date on how close the teams are in points, and really try to paint the scene as to what could be coming, and allow the listener to sort of feel as though they're right there at the meet. It's a little different, as you say, with the multi-team meets. I think back to our meet to start the 2012 season that we just completed. That meet was down in Cancun, Mexico. It was in a hotel ballroom, if of all things, and we were able to have 6 teams going at the same time. And so 4 teams on each apparatus, and then 2 teams on a bye. In that case, Rick, it's incredibly difficult. So we typically try to focus on one of 2 things, either just LSU, or if it's another big name school that's in with us at the meet, we'll concentrate on them as well.
That's interesting. Since you do the road games, we all have to travel pretty lightly these days. What kind of equipment are you bringing along to these road meets, and are you traveling pretty lightly, or is it pretty cumbersome?
Yeah, it's actually much better. I think back to 2006, and it was quite a box of equipment that we had to bring around with us. And nowadays, with the software that's available, much of it at a very low cost, if not free, we're able to have 1 laptop computer, a Comrex box that we would say plug in our traditional headsets with stick mics, and plug those into the Comrex box, which immediately get plugged into the laptop. And then we're good to go, because now we've moved to keeping the broadcast within the internet. That is, we use the internet signal at the arena. Typically, we ask for a hard wire as opposed to the wireless, but it can work on wireless as well, depending on the strength of the signal and how much of the bandwidth is being used. But typically, that's the first thing that I do, is we sit down, we plug in. It's very easy. And within just a few clicks, we're literally broadcasting from wherever we are.
That's really fascinating. I'm sure Mark Cuban didn't even think it was going to be that easy back in the day. And, it's just amazing what you can do with a microphone and a computer these days. It just goes to show you. And does that leads on to my next question, where LSU and other schools in the SEC, where athletics is really a big business and really a big deal, where they're kind of now riding the wave of internet and digital media, are you hearing now from smaller conferences and maybe smaller schools, maybe even Division II, Division III, that are picking your brain maybe on how they can do something similar to this?
We really are, Rick, wherever we go. One of the things that we've noticed is that other schools have taken interest. As you mentioned, many of the big schools in the SEC have been doing this for a number of years. There's really one major hurdle that schools have to get over, and that's the staffing issue. I mean, obviously it requires people still, even though the computers and the equipment have dwindled and have become a lot more mobile over the years. It still requires people, and many of the smaller schools, all the folks that can afford to travel with the team, have some duty. You know, there's some job that they have to do that's outside of broadcasting. Typically, writing stories and filing stories with back home to the local press falls upon a sports information person that's affiliated with the athletic department. And what we've seen is that number is growing in the number of SIDs that are actually traveling. That's the first hurdle. Get them on the road, get them traveling. Then we've seen that maturation process across, you know, and one of two things happens. Once they start traveling, they either move into the broadcast realm or they're moving into the social media realm. It's a little hard to be doing your social media and your broadcast at the same time. I've been there, tried that. So what we typically see is a school like, say, Arkansas, that does a great job of sticking just to the social media, updating fans on Facebook, Twitter, and the other social media outlets on what's happening in the meet, whereas we have taken sort of the traditional route of broadcasting live, and then we've added the social media component with our SID, Jake Terry, with LSU, handling that as well. So we're seeing more and more of the social media component moving down the ladder, if you will, to the Division II and Division III levels.
Yeah, interesting. It's all, you know, all comes down to a matter of money. So, and I'll ask about that in a second. What do the coaches and the players think of it? Have they really embraced it and are behind it 100% as well? And also the other person I wanted to ask about are the people, maybe the parents who are at home listening or the relatives.
Well, we really do. We have a great parent following, and I'll say that, you know, with a school like LSU, we're able to recruit pretty significantly from across the nation. Right now, we have gymnasts from Miami. We have one from Mexico, and we have one from Hawaii, and we'll soon be adding some from Canada. So it's very difficult for parents to travel great distances to come on the road with us unless we happen to be as a school in proximity to where they are. So oftentimes our broadcasts are really the only link for parents and extended family. We have a number of girls that have been in the program over the years from the West Coast. So they really get an opportunity to listen in and be a part of our broadcast. We get a lot of shout outs. Folks send us text messages, emails. They might send us tweets. They might even do a Skype chat with us while we're during the broadcast. And we tend to we show them the love, so to speak, and give them a shout out right back to let them know that we know that they're listening in. And it's almost the more, Rick, I would say, the more engaged people have become with going to the internet for sources of information, the more trained they've become and more comfortable people have become to seek out broadcasts like ours. And it has really helped in our listenership. And I really think the sky's the limit. This is where the future is.
Yeah, we're with Mike Smith, who is the internet broadcaster for LSU Sports. And he's with us from just outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And are the coaches, is this a recruiting tool that the coaches are using now, Mike?
Yeah, Rick, they really are. They can let recruits know during the appropriate recruiting periods. They can check in with us and listen into the broadcasts. Of course, we can't have by rule any two-way communication with them, which is fine. But certainly, they can listen in and listen to how our team is doing and how other teams are doing. That's why we take great pains to really try to accurately portray every meet with really good commentary. Accurate commentary. You asked me about the coaches before. They have really embraced me over the years as a member of the family, and the girls on the team look at me as just a travel buddy, if you will, and it has been it's been great. It really has, and they've embraced it and look at it as a way to give their sport exposure that they might not have had otherwise. Certainly, gymnastics doesn't garner the, say, television appeal that that other sports do. But this is their opportunity to shine in a broadcast way, and that we try to do the best we can to promote them.
Since these are non-revenue sports, is this the kind of exposure that that they maybe haven't had in the past? That now that you know they're getting and they're really making use of.
Absolutely. Non-revenue sports, as they've traditionally been called, have struggled over the years to get the attention that perhaps they've deserved. And, many of the sports will resort to marketing and promotions activities to really try to draw fans, and those are really great. But we have found that this outlet at LSU has allowed us to shine a light and a broader light on gymnastics. And to, as we said at the top of the show, to increase our following and increase the number of folks that want to know week in and week out how the team is doing, what its prospects for NCAA championships are like, SEC championships. And those are the types of questions we've gotten over the last few years that say we didn't necessarily get several years ago when we first started. And I think that's indicative of the audience itself growing in number.
We talked about before, kind of you talked about the money, Mike, and maybe one of the barriers to entry for smaller schools trying to do what you guys do is money. How are you funded? Is it through the athletic department, or is there advertising and sponsorships involved? And, tell us how it works with you guys.
Sure, Rick. LSU is very dedicated to our internet broadcasting platform and has supported it financially and allowing me the opportunity to travel both through the athletic department and through our fundraising arm, the Tiger Athletic Foundation. Both of those entities are incredibly supportive of what we're doing and how we're doing it, and have encouraged us to really continue to push the envelope to try and always provide the best possible product, something that's on the cutting edge all the time. There's a great deal of competition between the upper echelons of SEC gymnastics schools, both in the gym and on the broadcast side of it as well. And so we're constantly trying to look at what each other is doing, and we're really, whether it's Georgia, who does a great job, or Alabama, in particular, to name two. So our athletic department and TAF are incredibly supportive of what we're doing.
Yeah, a lot of strong schools in the SEC in gymnastics, and that's going to continue for some time. Let me do a quick break here for Amazon.com, Mike, and you know how this goes, and just take a sip of water and sit back for a second. I just want to let our listeners know that if you're going to be doing any shopping in the coming weeks, coming months, Father's Day's coming up, you can use the affiliate link here for Netcast Studio. It's netcaststudio.com/Amazon for any purchases you're going to make on there. There's no extra cost to you, and it helps support Netcast Studio and the variety of programs it offers. And I always do a pick here for something you can buy on Amazon. And since we're talking LSU, I found a interesting book that I actually have read on there. It is called It Never Rains in Tiger Stadium. I don't know if you've read it or not, Mike, but it's by John Ed Bradley, who was a former four-year letterman at LSU, football player. And the book is kind of about after his football career was over, he kind of was sick of football and put the football experience behind him and lost contact with his teammates and coaches. And then 20 years later, he realized he missed the game, and he kind of wrote this book to get his name back in there and to kind of to make contact with the people he lost contact with. And he said kind of at the end of the book that if he could have anything back, it would be that feeling that came around every August when the football season was new and starting over and kind of the grass being green and, you know, the weather hot and training camp going. And he kind of wrote the book and he kind of got back into the sport after being away for it for 27 years. I don't know if you've read that book or not, Mike.
Yeah, I sure have. It's a great read. It really is, and of course the title is lifted from the name of the nickname of Tiger Stadium, and that is Death Valley. And of course, it never rains in Death Valley. It never rains in Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, great book, and I figured you had read that. So that's a great pick. You can do get buy that on Amazon. It's readily available. Came out a few years ago, and it was rated as one of the top books, sport books of that year. It can be bought at netcaststudio.com/Amazon. It never rains in Tiger Stadium. Feel free to look that up. And we're here with Mike Smith, the internet broadcaster for LSU Sports. And Mike, tell listeners how they can contact you or find out more about what you guys do and maybe personally what you have going on. Feel free to plug anything you want. Say hi to your wife or whatever you want to do.
Well, thanks, Rick. I appreciate that. We have a great – LSU Gymnastics has a great social media bundle, if you will. We have platforms on Twitter. Folks can follow us at LSUGYM, LSU Gym. They can also follow us at the same handle on Facebook, LSUGYM as well. Jake Terry with our sports information department at LSU does a marvelous job with all our social media platforms at LSU within the athletic department, and we're delighted to have him be so engaged, not only with the social media side, but also as the official SID for gymnastics, one of the great partners that we have in the athletic department. So if I had to give a plug to anybody, it would be to him, because let me tell you, he helps make my life so much easier. And I know he's listening tonight, so I have to give him a plug, because that'll help him continue to be nice to me.
Oh, that's important. That's important. And it's also important to know that LSU athletics is more than just Les Miles and Shaquille O'Neal. So great right. Plug for gymnastics there.
Well, we're just delighted. You know, our team, Rick, finished just very briefly. We finished in the top 10 nationally. We have had a great young team this year that I think gained a lot of experience. I think that we're going to add some additional experience in the form of some transfers and some new kids that that will be involved with the program this year. I really think that when the initial preseason polls come out, I think you're going to see that LSU is going to be right there at the top, and we'll be in the thick of the national championship hunt in the 2013 season. We have a great schedule that is available to folks if they want to check it out on lsusports.net. You can click on the gymnastics link on the homepage. It'll take you right to the schedule. You can take a look at it. We're coming to a city near you, because I can promise you in 2012, we set the record for traveling. We started in Mexico, went to Seattle, Washington twice. We went all the way to the East Coast in the state of Florida. We went to Atlanta three times and into the heartland, into Iowa, in the middle of March. So we covered the spectrum, and we're going to do much the same in 2013. It's going to be an exciting year.
Yeah, we got sick of seeing you here in Atlanta, Mike. So you got your tickets bought already. Next year, the national championships are, I think, at Pauley Pavilion in Los Angeles. You got your Disneyland tickets already bought?
You know, I tell you, my kids were asking me about that, Rick, because they said, you know, Dad, the way we've got this figured, I think that the national championships might be during spring break. And, of course, if that's the case, they've been to the Disney World in Orlando, but to get to Disneyland in California, wow, that would just be – and we can't forget that the Pauley Pavilion is newly remodeled and will actually be the first major national event to take place in the pavilion after its major renovation. And I can't wait to get back in there. I was in there some years ago, and Westwood is a nice place, and of course L.A. Wow, you know, it's always great to get out there and be a part of that scene.
A historic building dating, you know, way back, but in recent memory for me and you, at least 1984 Olympics. So that'll be exciting for everyone involved. And what you guys are basically doing is kind of PR for the university and for the athletic department. And is it because of technology that really it's changed this way, you think?
You know, I lost you there for a moment, Rick. Can you just rephrase that question for me real quick?
Yeah, you know, what you guys are doing for the university is kind of public relations, PR, and it's because of technology that now you're able to do this. Is this kind of, you know, rap because of technology?
Yeah, absolutely, because the technology helps keep the cost down. Because we typically travel in a group, we're getting group rates when we travel, so the extra cost to maybe bring somebody like myself or a partner on the road is not as expensive as it used to be. And then, of course, the technology in the arena is what's critical, because not every arena in years gone by has even had a telephone line available, much less an Ethernet cable. But now it's pretty much standard where we go. Plenty of Ethernet, plenty of bandwidth on college campuses where we primarily broadcast from, with some exception. And, so the technology across the board has helped make our lives a lot easier. And I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think what you're going to see is more and more of the traditional radio broadcast for sports that we've all come to grow up on, like baseball, basketball, and even football. I think you're going to see them, the broadcast, getting off of the ISDN lines and some of those dedicated lines and moving more towards an internet stream. I really think you're going to start to see that for all the reasons that we've mentioned.
Mostly because of cost, probably, huh?
Costs are big. There's no doubt about it. But also, I think that it's going to give the ability, as bandwidth increases, it's going to give the ability for us to do a lot more. For example, much like what we're doing here with little cameras, perhaps looking in at us and then rebroadcasting our image, the ability to log on and see what the broadcasters are seeing that you wouldn't normally get an opportunity to see. Certainly they can paint the color and the pageantry and set that scene, as great broadcasters do. But how about a little camera that's right there looking out to see what it is they're seeing? Can you imagine being able to go to your computer on a Saturday night and tune in to, say, Jim Hawthorne, who does a great job for LSU football, and be able to look out over Tiger Stadium and get a picture and a feel for what that's like that you might not otherwise get to see on, say, ESPN.
Definitely. That's definitely where it's heading. And talk about your day job real quick, and you're involved in PR on that end as well. And, with utilities and public policy and even with the political elections on the horizon, what have you seen change with that over the last 20 years? Is it a whole different ballgame now too?
Well, it really is. You know, with social media, which was brought on by the availability of more and better bandwidth into homes and businesses, the social media explosion, the handheld device explosion, which was brought on by an advance in technology, you know, all of those things have paired together to make it a lot easier for communicators like me and others to get our messages across to the general public, whether it be a customer, whether it be a target audience, or whether it be even a seminar that we might be teaching that we might have to travel thousands of miles and pay thousands of dollars. Now, with just a few clicks, we can broadcast to an entire a theater of people that can come in and listen to what we have to say. So those are the types of things that have made my life in the PR world a lot easier. However, it does come with challenges as well, and some of those challenges are unique in the sense that social media has given the opportunity for customers and other interested parties to communicate among themselves, which creates a dynamic that we haven't had before. That crosstalk, if you will, is different. In the old days, you could talk to your next door neighbor or your friend down the street or at the grocery store about a product or a service that was provided and have a one-on-one conversation. Well, now through the explosion of social media, I can talk to literally thousands of people that are either on my friend list or that might follow me on Twitter, or by using a hashtag on something, be able to put out the word that product X or person Y is good or bad or indifferent. And that has really changed the entire dynamic about how we in the public affairs world approach communicating today.
Yeah, you said it gives everybody a voice, and sometimes that's not a good thing. How do you feel about when maybe information you would have in the past, you would have been the first person to have? Now, this whole group of other people have it before you have it, and you're kind of learning it from or getting it from people that you never even knew existed before. How does that make you feel?
Well, it just means that we have to stay on top of all stay on top of the cutting edge, especially when our clients are concerned. You know, Rick, I do a lot of work in three main areas. I have transportation, primarily trucking, healthcare, and in the oil and gas field, as you would imagine, being from Louisiana. And in those areas, it's vitally important that I try to use technology to my advantage to help go out and seek out what folks are talking about in those areas, so that I can turn around and review that, screen that, and perhaps get that out to my own clients and try to stay ahead of the curve. So to your point, it really has meant that we have to keep our finger on the pulse with what's happening, how people feel, and get our messages out in a way that they sure didn't teach back in college.
No, whatever you learned in college is long gone, you know, worthless now. So it's definitely heading more and more in that direction. Where do you think it'll stop? People are creating information maybe that isn't true. Is that kind of where we're heading? That's kind of the dangerous side of things.
Well, you know, Rick, I think the old saying is we don't know what we don't know. I think that the technology continues to evolve on a daily basis. And I think the next big shoe to drop is going to be an increase in bandwidth to the home. I think when we start seeing folks that will move beyond, say, a DSL or a cable connection, and we start getting more fiber optics to the home, maybe even satellite technology improves to the point where you might have cable folks will hate to hear me say this, but perhaps you have a dish on your home that's not only allowing you to watch TV as we do today, but maybe a separate dish that's dedicated to nothing but bringing bandwidth to your home. Perhaps that, or perhaps straight fiber optic cabling to your home. When that happens, I think we're going to see an explosion of applications, of communications. The ability to communicate is going to go through the roof yet again, and the cost to communicate is going to come down again because you're going to see free applications. You're going to see the ability to call folks and have high definition conversations all around the world. Right there, even piped in as they're starting to now. I don't know if you've shopped for a new television lately, but TVs that actually can either be hardwired in or into your wireless system and allow you to do Skype right there with a little camera already built into your TV. That's on the cutting edge, and that's only going to improve over time.
Yeah, and let's flip back to gymnastics for a second and a little shakeup in coaching in the conference. Go over that real quick for us and give us maybe one name in the LSU gymnastics program to really look out for next year that people should keep an eye on.
Yeah, great question. We sure did. LSU has a longtime assistant coach, Philip Ogletree, who this week has announced that he's going to be moving on. The brand new coach at the University of Georgia, Dana Durante, has hired Philip to be her new assistant coach and recruiting coordinator. And we are definitely sad about that at LSU. Philip is one of the quote-unquote good guys in the sport. Philip and his wife Jill and their family will be sorely missed from this area. They are he's a great team guy, just a great dad, and just a tremendous man that we're going to miss in our program. However, the good news for Philip is that he's from the state of Georgia. He has family that lives in the greater Atlanta area. His wife is from Georgia as well, so it's a homecoming of sorts for him to go back to their premier sports university in the state of Georgia and to be an assistant coach there. It's just he's going to do great things at the University of Georgia, and we wish him all the best. And, he's leaving behind at LSU, which Dede Brough is actively searching for a really top-notch quality assistant coach, and I have no doubt that she's going to find a great one. But what Philip has done as being the recruiting coordinator at LSU for the last number of years is he's really helped us bring in some young ladies that have formed into some of the best athletes in the history of the conference. As a matter of fact, Rick, you may remember that an LSU gymnast, Susan Jackson, who's a three-time national champion in gymnastics, was also the SEC Woman of the Year and the SEC Athlete of the Year. And LSU has had another one of those, namely Shaquille O'Neal, that you obviously know and remember. But to have a student athlete in the sport of gymnastics get to that level at a conference really tells you what a great athlete that is. We've had Ashley Claire Kearney as a two-time national champion in recent years. April Burkholder was the national beam champion. She was from the Houston area. And I think for one to watch, if I had to predict, I think that the this year's freshman, next year's sophomore out of Baton Rouge, Reagan Corville, is a name that sports fans are going to need to really get to know and watch. Reagan is one of those rare special talents that has the opportunity to compete for national championships for years to come.
Yeah, way to go out on a limb there, Mike. Good prediction. And I always wrap up here asking my guest, the one piece of maybe modern technology that you can't live without, either in your work or in your personal life. What is the one thing that you can't get rid of?
Well, I'm going to do a little show and tell. It used to be this, the BlackBerry. Then it became this. This is an Android. It's turned off right now. So because if I was on the broadcast, it was on, it would be ringing. So then it was this. However, right now, if I had to answer you, I would say it's this. It's the Verizon MiFi.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't live without this thing. It is part of me. It's in my travel bag. The second most important thing besides this is the wall plug that goes with it.
Sure.
And I can tell you that those two things, well, aside from my phone, but the travel plug and then the MiFi, they have to go with me wherever I go. And actually, to show you how important it is, Rick, we actually have it active during gymnastics meets because we use it as a backup, an emergency backup to the Ethernet cable that's plugged into the laptop that allows us to do the broadcast. So if it should go down, with one click, I'm connected into the 4G. Typically, we're in a city of any size. We're going to be on a 4G network. And we have done broadcast over the MiFi before. I can tell you from experience, it works. But in my personal life and in my my business travels, that's where that's headed. Now, if I could just find a way to make a fiber optic cable connected to this thing and go where I go, I'd be in heaven.
I'm sure it's coming at some point. And that the MiFi, for a person that travels, the MiFi really is.
Very true. Very, very true.
Where the listeners can listen to your broadcast, find out information about what you guys are doing, and
sure.
and anything else you want to talk about.
Sure, Rick. We the social media handles are a great place to keep in touch with LSU Gymnastics in particular. That's at LSUGYM on Twitter. That's Facebook/LSUGym. Also on LSUSports.net. And fans can always listen to our broadcast free of charge by going to lsusports.net. Or we have a more specific handle. You can go into what we call the Go Zone, GEAUXZone.com, and then you go /live, and you can pull up just about any of our broadcasts. All of our radio broadcasts for other sports are replicated in there as well, along with our internet originated broadcasts that we do in gymnastics. So those are some of the great ways. I'm also on Facebook personally. If folks want to find out what I have to say on a variety of topics, my Twitter handle is at MDSA Online. At MDSA Online, and I'm Michael D. Smith on Facebook as well. So those are how folks can, if they should be so inclined to want to be interested in what I have to say about things other than LSU, that's a great way to do it.
Great stuff, Mike, and you're a great representative for LSU, and you do such a great job with the gymnastics. I think maybe someday you might be sitting up top. Tiger Stadium and maybe run some football, and you'd be a great person to do the university as well.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that vote of confidence. I hope my athletic director was listening for you say that. I tell you, if I could do that, just to have an opportunity to represent LSU and to be in Tiger Stadium or to be in the Maravich Center or Alec Box Stadium, all of the storied venues on our campus, is just an amazing experience and never gets old. And I think, too, by the way, when the initial polls come out for football in the coming weeks, I think you're going to see our LSU Tigers right there at the top.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. And you know, a great university and a great athletic program, and you're a great representative. Appreciate you joining us tonight.
My pleasure, Rick. Thank you so much. I appreciate all that you do for sports as well, and your show is terrific. And I really hope that we get an opportunity to visit again real soon.
You've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast, Netcast Studio production.